Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel lesson which we heard from John chapter 9, and you can find it in your brown pew Bibles on page 129. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When God looks at you, what does he see? When God looks at you, what does he see? It's amazing from my vantage point in the pulpit every Sunday what I see on a Sunday. But there is someone who looks at you not just on Sundays but every day of the week and from an even greater vantage point than I do. He looks at you from the vastness of eternity in heaven, and he doesn't just look at the externals, he sees with all-seeing and all-knowing eyes. KYB has been studying Revelation at the moment, and it talks there about God having eyes that pierce like fire. And that's what it feels like sometimes. God looks within us to our very thoughts, our ideas and attitudes. He even looks into your heart. That knowledge can either be very comforting, especially if you're going through a difficult time, to know that somebody, even God, knows what you're going through. But on the other hand, it can be very troubling, as Psalm 139 points out, that God knows what you do every moment of every day. Such knowledge, says the psalmist, is too great for him. What does God see when he looks at you? And you might quote the song lyric, "When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus in his perfection." What does God see when he looks at you? How about we flip this around? What do we see when we look at others? Do you see them as they really are, or do you see them from a certain point of view, complete with your biases and hang-ups? It might depend who they are in relation to you. Do you see yourself somehow as better than others, or maybe somehow worse off than them? Today's gospel is about seeing and about vision. It's about how we look at others, about how we look at ourselves, and about how God looks at us. In writing about the man born blind, one commentator begins by saying, "Everybody looked at him, but no one ever saw him." Everyone looked at him, but no one ever saw him. That was until one day when Jesus came and saw him and healed him of the blindness that held him captive. Chapter 9, verse 1. As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The blind man lived in a cause and effect world. Sickness such as blindness was thought to be the result of a particular sin. And sadly we see that myth perpetuated too often in society today. So when the disciples looked at this man born blind, they saw not him, but his condition. They saw him as a byproduct of sin, either of his parents or his own. They looked at him, but they didn't see him. Jesus responded in verse 3 of chapter 9, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now notice what Jesus is and isn't saying here. God didn't cause this man to be born blind so that he could display his power. That would make God out to be some vengeful, egotistical monster who gets his kicks out of the suffering of others. No, God didn't cause this man to be born blind, but what it says that even in this ailment, even in this sickness, even in this blindness, it was an opportunity for God to display his kindness and love in this man's life by healing him. Jesus continues, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. That brings us to the next group of people in this story. His community and neighbours around him, what did they see when they looked at the man born blind? Verse 8 says, his neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. The community, the neighbours, the people who walked by him every day as he sat begging, can't wrap their heads around the change, the transformation that has taken place. They can't help but still see him as a blind beggar. They fail to look past his condition. It's easy to ignore him as you look the other way or walk on the other side of the street. You might occasionally throw him a shekel or two, but healed of his affliction, that upsets the order of things. They looked at him, but they never saw him. The Pharisees are next on the scene. Now the Pharisees are the religious, the keepers of the law. And they interrogate the man at length. They see him as a troublemaker. Anyone who acknowledges Jesus as Messiah needs to be dealt with and swiftly. And so they throw him out of the synagogue. They excommunicate him. The issue for them was not just that this man had been healed, and to Jewish thinking it was only God who could heal, but that he was healed on the Sabbath. It didn't fit with their preconceived expectations. Even the blind man's parents were willing to throw their son under the bus. The Pharisees, verse 18, still did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see and who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents distanced themselves from their son. They saw him as a threat to their standing in the religious community, their safe existence. Because if they confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, they too would be thrown out of the synagogue. They looked at their son, but they never saw him. The way each of these groups looked at that man born blind also shaped the way they looked at Jesus and kept them from acknowledging him as Messiah. And it shaped the way their attitudes keep them at arm's length from other people as well. While they sit in judgment on others, they are unable to move to help them in their plight. just as Jesus saw this man, and he was the only one in this story to actually see the man as he really was. Just as Jesus saw the man and reached out to help him in his need, this man progressively sees Jesus through the account for who he is. And we see this in his responses to Jesus. As the attitude of the religious authorities hardens and darkens throughout this account, the man born blind grows in insight, so that we're told as the story, it tells that just as he received his physical sight, as the story goes on, he gradually receives spiritual sight. He's able to see Jesus for who he is, which is the point of the whole story. Many only saw the healing of a blind man, but they did not see the one to whom it points. Many people looked at Jesus, but they never saw him. But this blind man gradually sees, as Jesus speaks his word into this man's life. The man identified from moving in the beginning, and I invite you to read this story for yourselves in your own time this week, and to read slowly through it, and you'll notice that initially the man's insight grows. The first time he speaks of Jesus, he says, "This is a man called Jesus." And then when he is pressed by the Pharisees, he says, "Jesus is a prophet." And then when he's further pressed, he says, "He must be from God." And finally, when he has been driven out of the synagogue, Jesus finds him and reveals himself to him as the Son of Man. "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man finally bows down and worships Jesus. And that's the point of the story. It's not only a story. The miracle is not about a man being born blind, being given his sight. Yes, God comes to help those who are sick and in need. But the real miracle is that through Jesus' interaction with this man, he gained his spiritual sight. He gained the gift of faith, which helped him to see Jesus for who he is, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who has come to save him. It's only in the gospel that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the work and the words of Jesus, that this spiritual sight is possible. Another interesting thing, if you look at this chapter in the Bible, is that the focus is on sin, and it's repeated throughout this account. But everyone looks at sin as something as being out there, something nebulous, something external, but none of them see it as sin within themselves, which keeps them from seeing Jesus. Michael Marsh, author of the blog Interrupting the Silence, says the following: "Blindness is not about the quality of our vision or the condition of our eyes. It's not about the darkness around us, but rather the darkness within us. How we see others, what we see in the world, the way we see life is less about the objects of our seeing and more about ourselves. We do not see God, people, things or circumstances as they are, but as we are. Until our eyes are opened by Christ, our seeing is really just a projection of ourselves onto the world. What we see and how we may see and how we see manifest our inner world. They describe and point to the fears, attachments and beliefs within us. If we wish to see God's life and others as they really are, then we must attend to what is going on within us. True seeing begins in the heart, not with the eyes. We must begin to acknowledge the fears, attachments and beliefs that live within us and how they have impaired our vision of ourselves and of those around us. What he is saying is that before we address the sin that is out there and in others, we need to address the darkness, the sin that is within ourselves. It is this that keeps us blind. It is this that keeps us from seeing ourselves as we really are, from seeing others as they are, and from seeing Jesus clearly. The good news today is that just as Jesus saw the man born blind in his need, he sees us in our darkness and in our sin, and he comes to help us. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In our baptism, Christ shines his light into our lives so that we may see the face, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in baptism, our sins were washed away. And God and Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, entered our lives and shone his light into our hearts. With his Holy Spirit, God's gift in baptism, we were given spiritual sight, a new lens through which to view ourselves and to view those around us, but also to see Jesus clearly. A new sight that acknowledges our sin and also acknowledges him as the one who heals. God's word broke through the darkness, bringing his light into our life, and continues to come with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us see ourselves as we really are in the light of the word, and to see him for who he really is, our Messiah, God's chosen one, who is the light and life of the world. And once the scales fall from our eyes, we are enlightened by the Holy Spirit so that we can see others as God sees them, as people he came to die for, which inspires us to reach out to them too. So today may you rejoice as children of the light. May you rejoice that God sees you as you are, so that you may see others as they are. May you rejoice that his light shines in your lives. And as children of the light, may your light be seen by others that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.